that Bonnie picked has a close similarity. I may be playing another song. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that yet. That is this particular theme, but it's very important. This theme is so important to all of us, not only to us Christians, but those that are not Christians perhaps in this room today, or we know someone who is not a Christian. But before I can do anything, I've got to pray, folks. I've got to turn it over to the Lord. Join me as we pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege of standing in this pulpit today. I ask that you bless this message, that it may indeed be something worthwhile, not because I have something of my own wisdom or on my own ideas, but Lord, because you have something to share today. And Lord, I pray that you take charge. We will give you the praise and the glory. And we thank you so much for everyone that's here today. And Holy Spirit, touch each heart in a very special way. Let them feel your love. Let them feel your touch and encouragement. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The message that we're going to cover today, I'm sure you've already kind of seen on the verse sheet, is something called born again. Now, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, that phrase got entirely used up. I don't know if y'all remember, there was everything was born again. I heard one guy, one car dealership was calling his used cars born again used cars. I mean, they really, you know, they're trying to jump on the bandwagon. And we as Christians need to understand the significance of this phrase, born again. So that's what we're going to look at today. What it means, where it comes from, why we use it, what does it mean to you and me? First, let's look at where it comes from the Bible. Please turn with me on your verse sheet, or you can look on the verses up top here as we see the story where born again comes from out of the Bible. John 3:1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things." Nicodemus, let's tell a little bit about Nicodemus real fast. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. That means he knew a lot about the Bible, the Old Testament, and a lot of the laws that were given down. He was a very intellectual, intelligent man. But also, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which meant that he was part of the ruling class. He was a politician. He was a powerful man. In all likelihood, he was very, very wealthy. A very wealthy man with a lot of power. So we see that this, you know, it always amazes me how they sometimes the liberals will accuse Christianity as being a crutch for the poor or for those who don't want to think and all this kind. And yet, you know what? The crutch is the fact that I love Jesus Christ, and that as Jesus says, we come to Jesus as a child, and that is what we seek, a humility to receive salvation. And we must understand these accusations are so ridiculous because some of the greatest Christians that have ever been have been Christians of great wealth and great intelligence because it makes so much sense. We were talking about it in last week with one of our discipleship programs that everything that God states in the Bible is provable. That's one of the great things about the Bible is it proves itself. It is so great to be able to study the Bible because you will not be disappointed. You will only be excited at how the Bible proves itself to be true. As Nicodemus came to Jesus and talked to him, he sought him out. And that's what I want us to look at today. I want us to look at some of the special things about this Nicodemus that came to Jesus. Okay, and we're not going to take a long time, just a few minutes here today, and we're going to look at some special parts of this. The first thing I want us to see is Nicodemus was seeking Jesus. Now you say, well, of course he was. That's what the story told us. That's kind of duh. Yeah, but that's very important, folks. Let me tell you something. Nicodemus had a question about life. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Nicodemus sought Jesus out. You know, the interesting thing that we need to understand as our walk goes, how many times do you and I, when we have problems in life, we don't seek Jesus, we run the other direction? It's sad. We go completely, we get depressed or we get upset at something that happens. Something goes wrong at work, guys and girls in this room. Something goes wrong and we just get so upset and we run the other direction. Rather than going to our knees and seeking God, we're angry at the situation. So we run away from God, the very one that can help us the most. You see, the neat thing about Nicodemus, he had a question, he had a problem, he wanted answered, and he went straight to Jesus. He went right to the answer. I want to encourage us today to go to Jesus. Please, so many times, and I'm going to take just a few minutes here. Hold 1 second, please. It's hot up here. That comes off first. The sweater's next. It is warm up here. When we have our problems or the things that we need the most, when your friends betray you, when your family lets you down, when perhaps even your spouse, you have a fight with your spouse. You mean you fight with your spouse? Oh, wow. Bonnie and I never fight. There's folks in this room that can testify to that. Especially Bonnie back in the back. Amen. When you have a fight with someone that means so much to you, it hurts. And you're driven down. But let me tell you something, folks. Go to the one that can help, and that's Jesus Christ. So many times we fail to admit that, Christians. So many times we try to handle it ourselves, and we are so worn down from the load, from the burden. Please go to Jesus. Seek Jesus' advice. The next thing I want us to see from this story is he didn't even have to ask the question, and Jesus gave him the answer. Did you catch that part? Nicodemus goes, okay, Jesus, I know you're a guy from God. I know you're a good, strong guy because you're doing miracles. And that's all he said. That's all he said. Is that one of these days? I'm sorry. Okay, we'll try to get along without it. Let's see if we can do that. What's really bad is one of them fell out. So if I put them on now, I'll really be messed up because they're bifocals with one of them out. So that's really going to mess us up. As he came to Jesus, he didn't even ask the question. You know, the interesting thing about it is Jesus could have assumed many different areas. He could have assumed that Nicodemus had come to him and asked about political questions, or he could have asked him about miracles, or he could have asked. What did Jesus immediately answer him? Even though Nicodemus didn't even get the question out of his mouth, Jesus immediately said what? This is how you are saved. How you receive salvation. Now, what does that say to us? Christians, you and I get distracted. We get so offline. You know, nobody wants to see this church grow any more than I do. But you know what? When we go talk to folks, we want them to come to church. That's great. But you know what's more important than even them coming to church? Salvation. Are they going to heaven? You know, we meet somebody at work, you know, and they'll start telling us about their life, and we'll find out maybe they have a drinking problem or a drug problem. And we all want to help these people. We want to reach out to these people. But folks, before you start digging deep, trying to get them to stop drinking and stop using drugs and stop all these bad habits, you know what we need to talk about first? Is salvation. Salvation. You say, why, Pastor Dennis? Because I know so many people who cannot come to Jesus. They can't make that decision about salvation because they say, I can't stop such and such. I had this lady one time, and this is a true story from Honduras. We went and visited this woman, and she had been raised in the church. She knew more about the Bible than I did. She knew everything. And I talked to her and talked to her and talked to her, and she looked at me, and she looked me right in the face, and she said, Pastor Dennis, I'm not ready to receive Jesus as my Savior. And I said, well, why? What's holding you back? And she said, I'm just not ready to give up that man that I'm living with. And the sad part about that is the fact that, yes, all these things that drug addicts and, you know, drug addiction and alcoholism and all these things that we want to help people to get away from, the sins that are pulling them down, That's not the important thing. The important thing is salvation. Get saved. Teach people how to receive the Holy Spirit of God, and then let God help them stop the things that they need to stop. That's where the strength comes from. That's where the power comes from. If you're trying to do it on your own, you're not going to do it anyway. So anytime we're out there talking to people, and we're saying, the first thing we say to them, you got to straighten up your life. You got to start having a perfect life, and then we'll have you in the church, and we'll start talking about getting you saved. That's backwards, folks. Jesus didn't talk to people about their sins. He talked to them about salvation. Then they got saved, and you know what? Once we get saved and we get the help of God, we can step away from those sins that are pulling us under. We have the power to do it. And that's what we need to do, is seek the power of God first for these folks. Let's not concentrate on the things. Jesus didn't talk to Nicodemus about being a hypocrite, or Jesus didn't, because you know why I didn't talk to Nicodemus about being a hypocrite? Because Nicodemus was truly seeking Jesus. If it had been one of those other Pharisees, he probably would have talked to him about hypocrisy, because he wasn't seeking Jesus. Nicodemus really wanted to know something good from God, something good from Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, I can tell you the best thing. The reason I am here is I am to tell you about the gospel, because I am the gospel. Jesus was the beginning and the end of the gospel. And it is in Jesus Christ that we find salvation. It is in Jesus Christ that we find freedom from sin. And that's why Jesus shared the gospel. Why he shared what he shared first above everything else. The next thing I want us to notice was Jesus' answer. Born again. Born again. And isn't it funny what Nicodemus said? I mean, he was serious. He was not being a wise guy. He said, what am I supposed to do? Climb back into my mama? What are you talking about? He was serious. He did not understand the concept. But Jesus explained to him that it's a spiritual rebirth. You know, the interesting thing, think about it. When you were born into this world by your mother, you left one world and you started a new world. When you left your mother, that was the end of the old world. Very few of us remember what happened in there. Very few of us remembers how tight it was, or remembers how crowded, or, you know, remembers anything about that environment. Because once we started our new life, that was what was important to us. Folks, that's exactly what being reborn into Jesus Christ spiritually means. You start old, you start in the old life, and you are reborn into a new life, a completely changed life, if you will, recreated by God. That's one of the coolest things about giving your life to Jesus Christ and being a Christian, is all that old sin, all that old life is gone. And we must understand that it is a new life. Why? Why do we have to be born again? Why do we have to be born again? Here's the reason. The old person, before you received Jesus Christ as Savior, that old person is stained with sin. I don't know about you. Have you ever had some clothes, something you really loved, and you stained it really bad, and you couldn't get it off no matter what? That stain is there no matter what you do. And the only way you can replace, or the only way you can get rid of that stain, is to get a new garment, a brand new pair of slacks, or a brand new tie, or whatever you've stained up. And that's the way it is in our lives, Christians. And you that have never received Jesus, our old life is stained, and it cannot be cleaned. It can't be cleansed. And as long as you have sin in your life, you cannot be in the same place as God. God is perfect. God is sinless. And the old person is not allowed to coexist with God. It's like oil and water. It can't coexist. You can shake it up, but it's always going to separate. And that's exactly the way our old life is. It is stained with sin, and we can't get rid of it. But then all of a sudden, you are reborn into Jesus Christ. And you know what happens? You are recreated, and the stain is gone. It is completely cleansed away. And the neat thing about it is, I love this part, nothing ever stains us again. We may get some mud on us. We may have to pay the price of making some silly, dumb, crazy choices. We may have to pay for our sins in just payment in this world. But let me tell you something. Because Jesus Christ has cleansed us of past, present, and future, we are clean. We are a new creature. And because of that new creature, we now can come before the Lord clean. Let's look at Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. 1 John 3:5. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him, everybody say this with me, in him is no sin. When you go to heaven after you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is no sin on you, folks. Why? Because Jesus Christ washed all my sins away. I am clean, pure, made clean. You say, well, Pastor Dennis, does that mean you're perfect now? No way. But it is only by the grace of Jesus Christ shed blood that I remain clean as I face God. Because of the cleansing of his wonderful shed blood for me. That's being reborn into Jesus Christ. The next thing that I want us to notice about this is if you are not saved in this room today, or you know someone who is not saved, you must be born again. You must be born again. Once again, sometimes this phrase has been so overused that people almost turn their ears off to it because it sounds silly. It sounds overused. But folks, it is so significant. Why? Because Jesus said it. Jesus said it. Jesus said you must be born again. You must change from the old person to the new person. And how does that happen? That happens by receiving Jesus Christ's forgiveness of sin through his shedding of the blood and receiving him as your personal Savior. That's how you receive it, once and for all. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, please understand that every one of us is either one place or another. We were talking about this in Sunday school, how gray areas have taken over this world. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you there is no gray area about salvation. You are either saved and going to heaven, or you are not saved and not going to heaven. And we all know the other place. I don't have to say it. And we must understand that there is no in-between. You say, Pastor Dennis, isn't there, can't I make a decision after I die? No, too late. Can I make a decision in later part of my life? Yeah, you can, but what happens if you don't make it to the later part of your life? Too late. Pastor Dennis, can I just be good enough and try to do the best I can and kind of hope that I'm going to get there? No, because being good enough, Ephesians 2:8-9 says there is no works good enough. Nothing you do can take you to heaven. It is not by works you are saved, but by grace, by faith alone. That's it. It's the only way. And so there is no warm. There's hot and cold. You're going to heaven or you're not. And you say, Pastor Dennis, are you one of those ranting and raving and yelling and screaming, ranting and raving preachers that fire and brimstone? No, let me tell you something. I'm a guy that is warning people that I know I'm going to heaven. I'm going to enjoy it throughout eternity, and I don't want anybody to miss it. How selfish would I be if I didn't tell the world how to go to heaven with me? We must tell the world. We must not be selfish about salvation. If you are going to heaven, you must tell others. You must tell others. I always, forgive me, and I know some of you heard this example, but I'm going to use it again. If this building caught fire and it was so black with smoke, none of us could find our way out. We're just going to all die in this fire. And I was fortunate enough to find the only doorway out of this building. And I'm out there, man, I'm out there in the parking lot watching the building burn. I'm going, man, this is neat. I'm out here away from the fire. And the rest of you are screaming inside the fire. But I don't do anything to tell you how to get out of the fire. How selfish is that? I should come and say, this is the way out. This is the way to get safety. This is the way to get away from this building that's burning. I should share that with you, should I not? And as I share that with you, guess what? If you follow those instructions and you are safe outside the fire, then praise God, that's wonderful. But you know what? If you say, I ain't listening to you, I'm going to stay in the fire and burn, that's your decision. Don't blame me. And the bottom line is this, folks. We must understand, Jesus is not just telling a story here to symbolize something. He's telling a fact. In order to go to heaven, you must be born again. And we must make that decision. Christians in this room today, we need to understand something. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are made into a new person. And I've had so many, sometimes I'll tell somebody that and they'll be so excited because their past life is so full of pain, so full of misery, so full of sin and all kinds. And when they realize that, they start afresh, they start new, they are so happy about that. But you know what is really sad about Christians? Is we start afresh and then we bring on some of that junk with us. We bring the sins that we used to commit with us. Or we find new sins to burden us down. Now, once again, I believe, and we've talked about it, I believe you'll still go to heaven, but you know what? You will pay a big price for that sin. There is accountability in this world for your sin. Sin equals pain. And if you bring sin into your life, if you are living in sin in any way, and you are accepting it in your life, it will bring pain in your life. If you're a thief, you'll go to jail. If you're a murderer, you may be executed. Well, not anymore. They slap you on the wrist. But if you are a shoplifter, they'll execute you and they let the murderer go. Isn't that the way it works nowadays? Bottom line is you will be punished for your sin. And we need to understand the importance of that. Christians, please don't hang on to the sins of the past. Get rid of them. Turn them over to the Lord. Find out freedom that Jesus Christ offers. Let's look, please, at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Peter 1:9. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Remember what Abba, Father means? Daddy. We talk to God and we can call Daddy. Man, I love that. I love being able to talk to God that personally. If you are a Christian in this room today, you've been set free of bondage of sin. Please don't put yourself back in that bondage. Whatever the sin is that you're thinking about committing or you've committed in the past, you know what? There's a fear of being caught in there. I don't care what that sin is. You're always afraid of being caught. You're always fearful of paying for it. Don't let Satan get that back in your life. Get rid of it. Change towards God's freedom. First Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I used this in the men's breakfast back a few weeks ago. It's very important that we understand, Christians, we are a living sacrifice. You know, one of the things that we want to get across to the kids is the reason, you know, we love them to come for the fun and come to have all the, you know, the food and the fun and all this stuff. But you know what? The main reason we come to church, the main reason we come to activities at church is because we love Jesus Christ. The reason y'all are here today is because you're seeking from the Lord because you love what God can do for you. And I hope you have a relationship with God. And that's what we want to get across. The one thing about that verse is we need to be holy and pleasing to God. Does that mean we're going to be perfect tomorrow? No. Does it mean we try to be perfect? Yes. We strive towards perfection. We strive towards holiness. Because that is our way of truly worshiping the God we love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that in these verses you spoke not only to Nicodemus, you speak to us. That as you spoke with words, human words, there's a spiritual meaning far beyond it. Lord, if there is anyone in our midst today that does not know that they are going to heaven when they die, please help them to know that before they leave this room today. God, we pray for us Christians that are perhaps have become a little pious, perhaps become a little cocky about our Christianity, perhaps become a little arrogant, the fact that we know everything. Oh, God, touch our heart and break us right now, Lord. Help us to be humble before you that we may understand what you want us to do with our lives.
where you want us to go, what you want us to say. God, touch us now with the reality that we are all striving to be what you want us to be, and we need your help. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit touches each person in this room today with a very special application and a special meaning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Brother Dave